Thank you for coming. My name is Joshua Minaya, PhD student in the Department of Agronomy. So I'm not yet a doctor, but I hope one day I will be a doctor. I'm going to talk about my master's thesis research. It's about assessing the spatial variability of soils in Uganda on a national scale. The overview that I'm going to do this presentation is going to look at the introduction, problem statement, objective, talk a little bit about factors influencing soil spatial variability on a national scale, and then the setting, methodology, and results, and then conclude. But African economy actually is agro-based. As we all know, it is up to over 70% of the population directly depending on agriculture. However, the available land where agriculture is practiced has actually been found to be decreasing in quality. Factors such as poor inherent soil quality and other biophysical constraints have been key hindrances to increasing agricultural productivity. In East African highlands, where this study was actually conducted and focuses on, the rate of soil quality degradation is quite high. So focusing a little bit on what the problem is, in 1960, Chenry did a study comparing soils in Africa and found that Uganda soils compared to other soils in Africa are pretty fertile. However, soil nutrient mining and soil erosion have actually been declining and resulting to declining agricultural productivity. This actually has made the government to try and increase productivity, but most of their efforts have actually been resulting to negative results. This has actually been exacerbated by the fact that farmers who actually cultivate in this diverse environment, they lack the knowledge on how to address these problems, and so even though the government tries to address these efforts, farmers themselves do not know how to comprehend the information related to them. So you're looking here at the picture that I took in the Rift Valley. If you look at this plot here, on the foot slope here, this is corn. It's pretty green, indicating an increase in nutrient. However, if you compare the same on the back slope, corn here is actually yellow in color, indicating the lack of nutrients. So the overall objective of this study was to try and investigate the country-level spatial variability of soils in Uganda to provide useful information needed to develop improved land management strategies so as to promote effective and sustainable agricultural development. Specific objectives included characterize the spatial variability of soils of the physical and chemical properties, and then identify which among these factors is most dominant in explaining the variability of soils on a national scale. So trying to look at, we all know that on a small scale, topography is the most dominant factor that tries to actually influence the variability of soils from one point to the other. However, national scale, I kind of group these factors in two broad categories, looking at the socioeconomic factors and environmental factors. And so I grouped them in socioeconomic category, where I looked at these particular factors where population, poverty, and market access have been found in an economic study that I'm going to talk about a little bit later, have been found to be pretty much influencing soil variability on national scale. Looking at the environmental category, geology, climate, and land use management, and these are the variables I looked at, have been found to be pretty much influencing the variability of soils on a national scale. Well, the setting of the study was in Uganda, and Uganda is a landlocked country here, and there's a blow up of it, pretty much three times the size of Indiana, has a bimodal climate, average annual temperature of about 30 to 32 degrees Celsius, and average rainfall is about between 1,000 to 1,200 millimeters a year. So the methodology that was used, data was derived from the International Food and Policy Research Institute from an IFPRI study that was conducted that looked at poverty linkages between poverty, household well-being, and natural resource management. So this was done in 2003, and what this study was trying to look at is the variability, soil variability component of it. Later, this was the baseline that was done in 2003, and so the same study was conducted in 2013 to look at the changes in soil quality from that particular year to the end line, which is 2013. So we picked up this data and tried to look at the soil variability of that soil. The same year, Uganda Bureau of Statistics was conducting the population census, and so some data was also extracted from that. And so the data included community-level data. Up to 122 communities were visited. Up to 850 households were visited. Plotable data included 2,185 soil samples from the plow layer, and climate data from the World Climate Data. socioeconomic data was pulled from Uganda Bureau of Statistics, and those are the socioeconomic factors that I looked at. What they're looking at is the spatial distribution of the 122 soil samples. This is just the soil, communities rather, overlaid over the hill shape derived from the 90 DEM. The soil analysis were conducted at the National Agricultural Research Laboratories of Uganda, and properties included soil texture, organic matter, pH, total nitrogen, total P, total potassium, and exchangeable potassium. These are the results. So what you're looking is just a general, the mean of the 2,185 of the soil samples that were analyzed. And what you're looking at is just the mean. The texture that we found was a sandy clay loam. And if you just look at the mean and the critical value, and again, the critical value is just below this value, that property is actually considered to be deficient. The value is actually provided by Foster when he did a study in 1971. Compare the mean and the critical value here, we can conclude that these particular properties, we can say that this property is actually good and the soil is actually good for crop production. Such a conclusion was done in 1960 when, remember I told you, Chenry concluded that this soil is actually pretty good for production. However, if you compare the minimum soil properties with the critical value, even though we find the soil in general is actually good for agricultural production, other areas are actually not good for agricultural production. And so in order to actually look at these particular soil properties in a more holistic way, we actually kind of try to look at the soil properties. What we're looking at the table here is a mean of the soil properties according to agroecological zone. Again, Waterman and Eledu did this study to try and cover the agroecological zones in Kenya, where these are regions where within conditions that's considered to be similar but heterogeneous from one region to the other. So what you're looking at, let's start with pH here. In general, pH of the Uganda soils are actually acidic. However, it's pretty much acidic in the southwestern highlands. This is due to the fact that this particular region has an acidic parent material called the Karagwean Colian parent material. To go look at organic matter. Organic matter is pretty high in the Mount Elgon region and high in the southwestern region. Even though this has an acidic parent material, there is a volcanic mountain in Rwanda which spread volcanic ash in that particular region, so we tend to see pretty high in organic matter and high, low pH. In this particular region, it's purely a volcanic mountain, and so we see high organic matter in that region. For nitrogen, total nitrogen, we see similar trends. Young soils, pretty high nitrogen. Available potassium, see an interesting trend that it's higher in Mount Elgon region. And this is due to the fact that I hypothesize that this particular region is high in available potassium because maybe the reaction that happened there emitted something that were high in potassium. For total phosphorus, we see here, according to other agricultural zones, it's higher in the Lake Victoria Crescent and Valley agricultural zone because this region has high phosphatic rocks of the Bukulu and Sukulu hills. For total K, again, we see similar trends, high in the southwestern highlands and the Mount Elgon regions, which are actually pretty young soils rich in soil nutrients. For sand, we see in the western Nile and northwestern and northern moist, very old soil, granitic rocks, which result into high sand content after subsequent withering. So we can tend to see that this is actually a pretty good way in trying to see to just give a descriptive way of variability of soils. However, into trying to look at it statistically, we kind of did ordinary kriging to look at the models that were depicted by these soil properties. We saw three models, so Gaussian, exponential, and spherical, and spatial dependent was strong and moderate. Using these values, we interpolated, and again, this is just an initial study to look at the variability of soils, how the patterns actually occur on national scale. So this is pH, I'll just show you a couple. pH, again, the legend here, the blue is high pH, and here is low pH. We see the low pH in the southwestern highlands, actually parent material. For organic matter, we see green here is high pH, and red is low pH. So high organic matter in the southwestern highlands, again in the Mount Elgon region. Remember, with ordinary kriging, the more samples you have, the better prediction you have. Recall again, our sampling density only covered these particular regions, and then it did not cover the northern half of Uganda pretty much well. So you tend to see this V-shaped structure. So with better if you want to predict better, you have to have higher sampling density. That's why we see this V kind of artifact in that particular region. Recall for objective two, we were trying to look at what is the most dominant factor that explains this variability of soil national scale. So what we are looking at is those factors, and here's the soil properties. So the stars indicate the strength of correlation between a factor and the soil property. What we're trying to get is the strongest correlation between these factors with one particular soil properties. So even though we hypothesized that geology is going to be the most dominant factor, we found that that wasn't the case. It had only moderate correlation between all other factors except for available potassium. However, climate was the only one that had a strong correlation with total nitrogen. Again, recall for that, the reason for that is being total nitrogen and organic matter strongly correlated, so you see the same trend here and here, and total nitrogen is found in only the high elevated regions of Mount Elgon and southwestern highland, where mineralization of organic matter is quite low, so we tend to see that high total nitrogen in those regions. So in conclusion, we can say that geostatistics is a very useful tool in trying to understand the spatial variability of soils. Development of soil quality maps offer the first steps in trying to identify regions that need specific soil and water conservation approaches. And this study actually concluded that two regions are actually particularly favorable for plant growth, which include the Mount Elgon and Southwestern Highlands. Acknowledgements include the National Science Foundation, the International Food Policy Research Institute, especially Dr. Ephraim Nkonya, who provided us the data to look at this, Purdue Agronomy and Ecological Sciences and Engineering. And this study only looked at that study, which is the baseline, and so we are going to try to improve on this study. It's just a beginning, so we are trying to look at the change of soil quality between the baseline and the end line being 2013. So we are trying just to get, the data is just being analyzed and being brought to us. So this is just the initial step in trying to look at it. Even though we used ordinary kriging, we know we can use better methods of interpolation, including such as regression kriging, fuzzy logic. So we are trying to look at other methods that we can try to improve on this. Yeah, thank you. The variables? Oh, so under climate, I look at temperature, I look at precipitation, and those ones I derive those from the wild climate data. Yeah. So what I did is just overlay the soil, the communities over the generated precipitation, for example, the Russell precipitation, and then just pull that using under ArcGIS. So it just extrapolate multiple points to it, and then it gives you the values for the specific precipitation values in that. Sorry, what? Yeah.
To be clear, was it the temperature or the rainfall? If it was the temperature, do you see it also sort of at a very fine spatial scale up and down the mountainside?
So what I did was, so the variables for climate were temperature and precipitation, rainfall. So I wasn't trying to find out which among those variables is most significant. I was trying to find out among that factor, which is climate, is it giving us a most dominant correlation to try and regress with a soil product. For example, if I'm looking at pH, I'm regressing with climate, and climate has these variables. So my intention is not to try and find out which among those variables is most significant, but trying to get, is that correlation pretty stronger? That's what I was trying to get. And again, I agree with you, because I was trying to, again, for further studies, I would try to look at in each particular factor which is most dominant in explaining that variation. And again, we have the data set, and in trying to look at it keenly, I will look into that. Yeah.
Do you have a question?
Sure, I was going to ask. Did you look at the data at all within a given region?
We know.
Okay.
But what I'm going to do for the 2013 data is to look at now, try to eliminate the heterogeneity of parent material and look at only one region which has one parent material and regress every of those factors to see which among those factors is most dominant, and within that dominant factor, which variable is most significant. So I'm looking at that, and then trying, because we're trying to look at also the change of soil quality through time, and so I have to focus on one particular area which has one germ of parent material, something like that. So I didn't look it for this. This was just a kind of a general view, but again, we're going to go into deeper depth when we look at the 2013 data comparing the 2003 data. So we had a land use factor, and in the land use we used an FAO 1997 published map, which only used the farming system, and the farming system was a proxy to that. So we didn't get the data set was there, but it wasn't available to us. So I used kind of a general holistic way.